This podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview is brought to you by Barbados Tourism. The Weekend Stakes Preview starts in just 15 seconds after this word from our podcast sponsor.
If you've been waiting to discover that spot where peace of mind meets the time of your life, then it sounds like you've been waiting on Barbados. From the majesty of horse racing and polo to the thrill of surfing our playful waves, visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages.
Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here they come into the stretch of the Apple Blossom Handicap. Take charge, Lady, the leader. Champion Azaria's taken over second. Mandy's Gold is third in, straightened for the run through the lane. It is Take Charge, Lady, leading at a length. Azaria digging in with a furlong to go. Take Charge, Lady leads it. Azaria's trying to get to her. Take Charge, Lady is strong. Azaria, the champion, trying one more time. Here she comes down the middle, the champion Azaria, and she does it! A tremendous finish!
Now, here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman, along with Dave Friedman. We've got 12 stakes to look at on tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview. A little bit of a slower weekend, Dave, as far as the major three-year-old races on the way toward this year's Triple Crown, but it is the marquee event at Tampa Bay Downs, the Tampa Bay Derby.
Downs has a really nice card this weekend, and I think there's some interesting races around the country. I'm really looking forward to the Azaria at Oaklawn Park, but there's good racing all over the place. If you're looking for opportunities, I think you can find it mixed in from coast to coast this weekend.
All right, well, we're going to start on the left coast with our program tonight. There are two graded stakes on the Santa Anita card tomorrow. By the way, I hope the weather is a little bit better tomorrow than it was today, as, of course, they did cancel racing this afternoon at Santa Anita with rainfall throughout the day. Hope for a little bit better weather and obviously good racing conditions as we go forward with stakes races both tomorrow and Sunday on their scheduled programs. First of the stakes, we're going to look at race number 5 out at Santa Anita tomorrow. It's the Grade 3 San Carlos. These are the sprinters, 4-year-olds and up, going 7 furlongs on the main track. A short but sweet field of 6 going to post. And two favorites on the morning line both look like their major players. Number 2, Forbidden Kingdom, and the 5, Get Her Number.
Yeah, I think those two make the most sense. And my question for you, Bobby, is Forbidden Kingdom going to clear, or is Spirit of McKenna going to run with Forbidden Kingdom and maybe set up something off the pace?
Well, I'm going to say that I think Spirit of McKenna is going to be right outside Forbidden Kingdom and actually may outfinish Forbidden Kingdom because he's going to have the benefit of the outside draw. And listen, I know that you usually go first in these, but I'm going to say I think Spirit of McKenna is an up-and-comer that is a major player in this race. I know he has not been facing the competition that he is going to see tomorrow, but he's done what he needs to do. He's lightly raced. He's never run a bad race. And I think a repeat of his last race, an allowance win where he went 6 furlongs in 108-3, is good enough to make him one of the ones to beat, if not the horse to beat tomorrow in the San Carlos.
Yeah, I only see the 3 of them, and my fear is that Forbidden Kingdom and Spirit of McKenna are kind of at each other's throat early on and maybe for most of the race, and Get Her Number gets a perfect trip and kind of rolls home late. So I picked Get Her Number, but I agree with you. From a value standpoint, if Forbidden Kingdom is 8-5 and Get Her Number is 9-5 and Spirit of McKenna is 4-1, I think Spirit of McKenna is the best value.
How would you like to know a little bit about Spirit of McKenna before his first race? He debuted at Del Mar last August, and he won at odds of 41-1.
Yeah, I would have liked that. If you had tipped me off to that, I would have been appreciative.
I'm fairly certain if you could have told me that I would be picking Spirit of McKenna to win the 2023 San Carlos, I may have put a few dollars on him in that first race.
Yeah, now, that being said, Bobby, in Spirit of McKenna's second race, and I understand it was at a mile and we're running 7 furlongs tomorrow, number 1, Holding the Lude, beat Spirit of McKenna. So maybe some of the other horses in here, Howbeit and Holding the Loot, aren't all that far back from kind of the primary candidates.
No, and Holding the Loot, like number five, Get Her Number, is probably wanting a little bit of pace in front to help. He's more of a route type, so shortening up to 7 furlongs, the faster they go early on, the better chance that he has to close and get the win. It's a short field, but it's a fun race. The Grade 3 San Carlos tomorrow at Santa Anita. The featured race tomorrow at Santa Anita is race number 8, and this is the Grade 1 Beholder Mile, a race that for many, many years was run over at Hollywood Park and was known as the Vanity Handicap. Now it's the Beholder Mile, named for that great champion Beholder from not too many years ago. Good field gathering. How'd you see this race?
There are very few horses in here that I would eliminate. And if I'm playing a pick 4, pick 5, pick 6, something like that, I'm going to have to use a whole bunch of them. I do not have very strong feelings. And the morning line did not come out the way I was hoping for it, because I thought I might get a price on somebody that I had a little bit of an inkling towards. And it just didn't really happen. I certainly look at Fun to Dream for Bob Baffert, who has won 6 of 7 career starts. Now, 3 of those are against Calbreds, and this is stretching out from 7 furlongs to a mile. I thought Fun to Dream, and I still kind of think Fun to Dream is going to be the favorite in here. 5 to 2 on the morning line, but I'm wondering if that's going to be more like 9 to 5 when they actually break from the gate. Number 4, Midnight Memories, another Baffert horse, is coming off the layoff and was actually the favorite against Fun to Dream when they ran on opening day at Santa Anita towards the end of December. Number 5, Amo Ready for Brad Cox, has won back-to-back races and really run his best recently, or she has run her best recently. The Figs recently fit nicely with this group. Number 7, Desert Dawn, is coming off a layoff. I think has faced really good horses and lost to Midnight Memories last time, but Desert Dawn was the favorite in that race. And number 2, Pauline's Pearl, 7 career wins in 16 starts, likes wet going. So if it is a little damp out there, I think that would be a good thing. Most of the wins for Pauline's Pearl are at smaller tracks, but we do see a win on the Derby undercard at Churchill Downs, and I think Pauline's Pearl is a very capable sort. I like the 2nd off the layoff. I pick Pauline's Pearl, but I like Desert Dawn, and I'm kind of looking for value here because I think it's pretty wide open.
Well, you and I are on the same mare in this spot. I like Pauline's Pearl as well, but I mainly like her because I think there's plenty of speed in this race, and I think Pauline's Pearl wants pace to set up her run, and she's going to get it. The fact that she's never ran at Santa Anita, or run at Santa Anita, doesn't bother me because she seems to run well just about anywhere that she goes. Not too many people got to see her 2023 debut because it was in the Houston Ladies Classic at Sam Houston when they were not able to send their signal out. If you could watch the race on their website, or if you're outside the United States, you could watch the race. But for the most part, a lot of the people who would normally have liked to seen that race never got to see it. It was a good effort. She's facing a better field tomorrow, but I think she's going to get the right pace. And like you, Dave, I think Pauline's Pearl is going to be tough in the Grade 1 Beholder Mile, race 8 tomorrow at Santa Anita. Well, the lone graded stake tomorrow at Oaklawn Park is named for one of the best mares that we have seen probably in the last 25 years. This is the Grade 2 Azari for fillies and mares going a mile in a 16th. Azari herself won the Apple Blossom, the premier event for fillies and mares at Oaklawn Park on a yearly basis, I believe 3 times. So it's all makes sense that there was a race named in her honor. In fact, we got to hear Terry Wallace's stretch call of the 2003 edition of the Apple Blossom with Azari winning at the show's open. So nice that there's a race named in her honor, and they have a good field of fillies and mares showing up for this mile in a 16th event. It's always you always get some of the best fillies and mares in the country in these top-level stake races at Oaklawn, whether it's the Desiree or the Apple Blossom. Secret Oath, who, of course, is the Kentucky Oaks winner from last year, shows up in this field. Clary Air, who was last seen in that three-horse photo in the Breeders' Cup Distaff with Malathat and Blue Stripe, makes her 2023 debut. Interstate Daydream, last year's Black-Eyed Susan winner, shows up in this race. It's a really good field.
It is a really good field. And Clarier is much better than this group of horses. Secret Oath and Hidden Connection and Interstate Daydream are making their four-year-old debut. And I think four-year-olds sometimes take a big step, particularly if they've been off for a little while. And a couple of those have been. But Clarier is among the best mares in the country. I mean, she had every opportunity to win that Breeders' Cup Distaff and just missed against Malathat. I liked Clarier that day. I like her much more tomorrow. I can't imagine getting 6-5. Doesn't she look like she's going to be 3-5?
Well, if you think that she was kind of head-in-head with Malathat most of last year, I mean, what would Malathat be if she showed up in this race? That's pretty much what Clarier should be.
Yeah, so then she should be 2-5.
I don't disagree with you, my friend. So the question is, it sounds like you're picking Clarier. If we want to bet this race, I know you're not somebody who's willing to lay 5 to win 2 or lay 5 to win 3. So who do you use underneath Clarier if you're trying to, you know, really punch an exactor or two?
I mean, in any sort of pick 5, pick 6, I'm going to single Clarier. I think she just stands out among this group. Secret Oath, I mean, you're talking about the Oaks winner who's 3-4 at Oaklawn and 3-5 at the distance, folded in the Breeders' Cup, but maybe that race was just better competition or it was too far or what have you. Lovely Ride at a huge price is very sharp right now, does like Oaklawn a great deal. Stepping up in class, but I don't think is that far back of everybody else other than Clarier in here. So maybe I'll dabble with Lovely Ride underneath. But to me, I can really only see Clarier.
Yeah, I think Clarier stands out as well. I've never been a gigantic Secret Oath fan. I respect her. I've just normally been on the side that I've been trying to beat her. I didn't, even though she was winning at Oaklawn Park and looking really, really good doing it last year as a three-year-old filly, I thought she was kind of beating not great fields in those races. That being said, she showed that I was wrong in beating a really good field in the Kentucky Oaks last year. I certainly respect her, but even if Secret Oath runs her best race, I don't think she beats Clarier if she runs one of her normal good races. So like you, Dave, I'm going to put Clarier on top. 6-5 morning line. I think we can only dream about 6-5 at post time. I don't know what I would do if she's 2-5, 3-5, if I would try to pound exactas or if I would single her in some sort of horizontal play, but more so I'm just a fan of this race and looking forward to Clarier and some other really good fillies and mares in the Grade 2 Azaria Race 9 tomorrow at Oaklawn. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dive into that monster card that Dave alluded to at Tampa Bay Downs. They have 5 stakes in all tomorrow. 4 of them are graded stakes. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sam Houston Race Park's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. We're looking forward to March 25th, Texas Champions Day. Make it to Sam Houston Race Park as the best in Texas compete in 7 exciting stakes races. The 9 race card starts at 1 p.m. at Houston's Best Bet. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 4th and the Florida Derby Saturday, April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club, our Feast in 10 Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stake schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Afternoon Delights. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But as they turn for home, Isabella Songs is still on a long, long lead. Up on the outside, Chapman is now set down for the drive, but the champion race mare has five lengths to make up, and she's gobbling up ground. Inside the final eighth of a mile, Isabella Songs, and here she comes. Chapman, she drops her head and is mowing him down. Chapman on the outside, and she'll get up and remain the champion she is by three parts of a length. Isabella Songs in a very game effort for second, and the running time on the board, 146.26.
Richard Grunder on the call back in 2016. The Grade 2 Hillsboro won by the champion Teppan. She was the champion grassmare in 2015, once again the champion grassmare in 2016, and this year's Grade 2 Hillsboro, part of that monster Tampa Bay Derby card tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Friedman. Before we dive into that Tampa Bay card, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. From our good friend Byron King at the Blood Horse, Golden 60 tops world's best racehorse rankings. Following Flightline's retirement from racing last year, there is a new top-ranked horse in the Longines World's Best Racehorse Rankings based on racing from January 1st through March 5th. Golden 60 is on top with a ranking of 125 ahead of fellow Hong Kong-based horses Romantic Warrior and California Spangle. Camp Golden 60 featured in the ratings since 2020, began 2023 with a one-length victory over Romantic Warrior in the Grade 1 Stewards Cup with California Spangle a neck back in third. Golden 60 subsequently defeated Romantic Warrior by a head again in the City Hong Kong Gold Cup, another Group 1 event. United States-based Art Collector, decisive winner of the Grade 1 Pegasus World Cup Invitational, is the top-ranked dirt horse with a 121 rating. You can see the full ratings if you go online. Just go to the Blood Horse and look for the column saying that Golden 60 tops the world's best racehorse rankings. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. Dave, we all like these rankings, whether it's horse racing or college basketball or college football or whatever it is. Rankings are always something to talk about. I will say this. They're a little bit skewed right now with the fact that the ratings only include races over the last 2 months. So I'm not sure that, listen, nothing against Golden 60. He may be the top horse in the world right now, but the fact that they've had several high-level graded stakes in Hong Kong already in the first 2 months, and maybe other countries haven't had them yet. We haven't seen the big European races. Those are usually over the summer and the fall. A lot of the Japanese races yet, even a lot of the races here in the States. You got to kind of take the ratings with a grain of salt.
Yeah, a huge grain of salt. And since we can't make any money on them, they're not particularly important. They are, you know, they're fun to talk about. And if you don't know some of those horses, it's fun to kind of YouTube and watch them and get a feel for why those horses are rated so well. But in the end, they're just kind of clickbait or something for content's sake or a fun little discussion to have, but not particularly important.
I am very happy to fall into all of the above category when it comes to that. All right, let's get back to the matters at hand and handicapping this monster card tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. We're going to look at the four graded stakes on the card, the first of which is race number 8. It's the Grade 3 Challenger Stakes. These are four-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the main track. Nice field of 9 gathering for the Challenger, and Safi Joseph ships up Skippy Longstocking for the race. I don't know if it's this easy, Dave, but it kind of looks like when Skippy Longstocking is not running in grade one races, he's really, really good.
Yeah, Skippy Longstocking is good. I don't think Skippy Longstocking is great. The best effort for Skippy Longstocking, in my opinion, has been running well against other good horses. The wins are not great. The win in West Virginia, the win in the Harlan's Holiday, those are of the good, not great variety. Who is Skippy Longstocky beaten that you go, oh, wow, that is really impressive? Now, the big figs are exactly that, that those were really, really big efforts, those last two wins. They came against lesser competition, but they still were fast, decisive victories, and you take nothing away. I'm not interested at 8-5. It's just, you know, the workouts recently are slow. I haven't seen Skippy Longstocking beat great horses. Now, maybe Skippy Longstocking just isn't facing great horses in this one. Maybe Skippy Longstocking is the best of what is a legitimate grade 3 field. Because the second choice in the morning line is Tax or Classic Causeway, who are flawed horses themselves. Classic Causeway getting Lasix for the first time at the age of 4 here, and a horse that's been running on turf the last 5 times out. Biggest win in his career came on the sod. And you look at Tax, who's my pick in this spot, and I don't love Tax. The last 3 races are very kind of ho-hum. The win at Delaware Park is exactly that. It's a win at Delaware Park, and he ran well, but that's July. And then you go all the way back to 2020 to find really good efforts. That being said, I think this is the right level for Tax. I like the way Tax is training right now. I trust Danny Gargan, and I think 4-1 is, well, it's better than 8-5. I'm just not a huge fan of Skippy Longstocking. I'm probably going to have to use a bunch in this spot.
Yeah, there aren't any horses in this race that I'm a gigantic fan of, and I agree that Tax has probably run some of the best races, if not the best races, of anyone in this field. He's certainly not a model of consistency. And that's hard to say that with the fact that he's been first or second in 9 of his 18 career starts, but it seemed like a lot of those races were the beginning part of his career. And when you look at his form, it's pretty splotchy around that. So if you get the good Tax, if there is such a thing as a good Tax, then yes, he is probably the one to beat. I went with Skippy Longstocking. It's kind of a low-hanging fruit pick for me. I look at it this way. If I throw out the races where he was running against Group 1 or Grade 1 competition, he won the Grade 3 Harlan's Holiday, he won the Grade 3 West Virginia Derby, and he was third in the Grade 2 Wood Memorial behind 2 Triple Crown race winners, Mo Donegal and Early Voting. So he's a really good horse. He's not one of the greatest horses of our lifetime, and he may not be a Grade 1 caliber horse, but he hits pretty hard at Grade 2 and Grade 3 levels, and that's what he's going to find in the Challenger tomorrow at Tampa Bay Downs. 9th race is the Grade 2 Hillsborough Stakes. These are fillies and mares going to go a mile and an eighth on the turf. We've got a field of 7 going to post here, and we heard the stretch run of Teppan winning back in 2016. She was, if not the best, certainly one of the best turf mares of that era, you know, 6-7 years ago. I don't know if we have quite that caliber of competition in this year's edition of the Hillsborough, Dave, but we do have 2 Chad Brown trainees that look like they're going to be really, really tough in the 6 Shantisara and 4 Rougier.
This has the feel of one of those races where you pick one of the Chad Brown horses and the other one beats you. Like, how many times has that happened? I'm concerned about the pace in this race, Bobby. There's just not anyone that really wants to go to the lead. I really tried to talk myself in to number 7, Scottish Star, who I think is going to inherit the lead. But boy, the wins are against much, much lesser competition. And the recent races are, they're okay, but they're not great. It's a Todd Pletcher, Luis Saez horse who's been in the money 7 of 9 times, and I think might be loose on the lead. I just couldn't get there against Shanisara, who's a Grade 1 winner. second off a layoff, ran a credible race last time out. I think Shannessara is the most likely winner. When I handicapped the race, I said I needed 2-1. The morning line is 2-1. I think she's the most likely winner, but if Rougier comes up and wins, certainly wouldn't surprise me. I think this is a horse they had very, very high hopes for when Rougier came to the United States in the middle of last year and then debuted in New York and ran really well. And then after that, there were five races where we really saw, you know, two or three pretty good efforts. Only a single win was a mess in the Breeders' Cup. I wonder if Rougier might have a better five-year-old season than she did a four-year-old season. Number five, Gam's Mission for Cherie DeVoe is off a very, very long layoff. I do think has some back class. In fact, the last race was a good one. DeVoe is terrific off a long layoff, so maybe you get some value there. I pick Shannessara. I don't say it with an abundance of confidence. I wonder if California Queen is someone we should think about too. Again, in a race that I don't have a strong opinion on, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to play Chad Brown only to have his bigger priced horse come and beat me.
Yeah, and he actually has three of them in the race with California Queen, who would be the biggest of the three. And it sounds like both of us agree that she is very unlikely to win this race, although she just basically runs good race after good race. It just doesn't seem to be quite good enough speed figure-wise to compete with her stablemate Shannessara and Rougier. I went with Shannessara on top. I can't figure out if Shannessara is getting back to good form or she's just not going to be as good this year as she was back in 2021. Her form in 2021 when she was a three-year-old was phenomenal and would destroy this field. She was terrible in the closing race on Breeders' Cup Saturday, the Fall Harvest Stakes, as an even money favorite, and then ran well despite being defeated in the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf last time out. I know she has races in her PPs that would humble this field. I don't know if we're going to get that, but Irad Ortiz is aboard once again. I think that certainly helps chances. I'm going to pick her on top. I don't think we're going to get 2-1. I think she's going to be closer to 6-5 at post time. Race 10 tomorrow at Tampa is the Grade 3 $200,000 Florida Oaks. Three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the turf. 14 were entered. 12 will run in this race. Morning line favorite, speaking of Chad Brown, is number 10, Free Look. The last time we saw this filly, Dave, was last November. She ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf. And she didn't run poorly. She finished fifth, only beaten some five lengths, now gets Lasix for the first time, and she's 2-1.
And she encountered trouble in that race, and she's very, very logical here. That said, the 10 post and outgoing, a mile and a 16th at the turf at Tampa has not been where you want to be. And I don't think she towers over this field in any sort of way. In fact, I think she's one of them. But because of the price and because of the post, I'm looking in a different direction. I picked Alphabella for Pletcher. First time Lasix son, or I should say daughter of Justify. I thought the race last time out was good. In fact, I think both turf efforts have been pretty good after the three tries on the dirt were not nearly as good. But I'm going to use a bunch of big prices here and maybe try to hit something. Mission of Joy is going to be a use for me for Graham Motion on the rail. All-American Beauty for Shug McGahey, a $700,000 daughter of Into Mischief. I ran against 11 others and won in a maiden race last time out. I'm going to use that one. I'm going to use Juniper's Moon for Tony Dutrow, $725,000 daughter of Galileo, coming out of a maiden race. Alphabella is my pick. I thought the race last time was really quite good. Anything similar to that or better than that, I think, gives Alphabella a big chance. But I'm going to try to hit something, whether it be an exacta or a long shot that comes up to win, and I'm going to have as maybe a B or a C in a pick five or pick six.
All right, so we're on the same filly once again. I also like number three, Alphabella, for everything that you said. I will throw this in just in case any of the listeners want to know. Our good friend James Scully, who is a co-host on the Brisnet.com call-in show every Thursday night here, had his best play of the weekend come out to be number two All-American beauty. I guess he really loved her closing kick last time out when she got on the turf for the first time, and he thinks that she's a filly who's got a bright future, and at 8-1, he's interested in playing her again. So if you're somebody that follows James Scully and maybe didn't get to hear it, he loves the two All-American beauty. Dave and I both like, don't love, number three Alphabella. We're all picking against the morning line favorite number 10 Free Look in tomorrow's Grade 3 Florida Oaks at Tampa Bay Downs. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got the Tampa Bay Derby to look at and a couple of nice stakes on the Gulfstream Park card. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Attention horse racing fans, don't miss your chance to witness the excitement and adrenaline of live horse racing. Come out to Laurel Park and experience the thrill of victory Friday through Sunday. Don't miss out on five thrilling stakes races with a total of $450,000 in purses on Saturday, March 18th that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Mark your calendars and join us at Laurel Park for an unforgettable day at the races. Gates open at 11 a.m. See you at the track.
Racing fans, come see top fillies and mares this Saturday in the Grade 1 $500,000 Beholder Mile at Santa Anita. Our supporting feature is the Grade 2 San Carlos Stakes, so come join the fun with first post time for a 9-race card at 12:30 p.m. Be sure to mark Saturday, April 8th on your calendar as the Grade 1 $750,000 Run Happy Santa Anita Derby will highlight a tremendous day of racing that'll also include five other stakes, including the Grade 2 Santa Anita Oaks, the Grade 2 Charles Whittingham, and the Grade 3 Monrovia. That's all on Santa Anita Derby Day, Saturday, April 8th. Don't miss the first Coast to Coast Pick 5 each weekend. It's a $1 minimum bet with a player-friendly 15% takeout covering five races from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park. And fans, get your weekend rolling by joining us on any Friday, as we'll have free admission and parking, as well as $3 beers and $5 margaritas. Just east of Pasadena in Arcadia, Santa Anita. It's the great race place.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there goes Tencent on the outside, and Paco Lopez sets him down for the drive, and he's picking off horses one by one. But meanwhile, up front at 50-1, King Guillermo now going to the lead. Here's King Guillermo on the outside trying to pull a huge upset. Tencent is storming home on the outside. Inside the final furlong, do you believe this? King Guillermo at 49-1. He doesn't just win it, he wins it off impressively. Soleil Volante from absolutely last for second. Texas Swing was third. Relentless Dancer was fourth.
I love the little, like, almost unreal snickering in the call there from Richard Grunder, and almost in disbelief as King Guillermo scores the upset win at almost 50-1. Just 3 years ago in the 2020 edition of the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Dave, there has only been one Tampa Bay Derby winner who has gone on to win the Kentucky Derby. Can you name him?
I think it was Street Sounds.
That is correct, sir. You win the prize. 2007, Street Sounds did it. He, of course, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile the year before, so only horse to do that triple as well. Well, will this year's Tampa Bay Derby winner go on to win the Roses in Kentucky? Only time will tell, but first things first, we need to find out who's going to win this year's Tampa Bay Derby. Nice purse here of $400,000 on the line, 50 Kentucky Derby qualifying points available to the winner, a mile and a 16th on the main track at Tampa tomorrow, full field of 12 going to post. And, Dave, I would guess that if number six, Tap It Trice, runs anywhere close to the same kind of race that he ran last time out when he won an allowance at Gulfstream, they're probably running for second.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you can pick someone else in here, and you might like someone. You might think someone's going to improve dramatically. You might think Tap It Trice is going to regress. You might think there's value. All of that is great. Tapa Trice is so far and away the most likely winner, not only based on the last race, but based on the maiden breaker. The race was quick. The fig was good. Tapa Trice is a very likely winner, a $1.3 million son of Tapit. There is no way in the world you're getting 8-5. What do you think this horse goes off at?
Well, if this horse goes off at 8-5, it's going to adjust the way I'm going to handle my money management for tomorrow, because I'm going to be stepping in line to bet him to win. But I think 4-5 is about right.
Yeah, I think this horse is going off at less than 4-5. I think Tapit Trice is going off at 2-5 or 3-5, because there's no alternative. The second choice in the wagering is She's Turkin, Todd Pletcher's other horse, because Pletcher trains Tapit Trice, and She's Turkin lost to Tapit Trice by 8 lengths last time out. So again, you can find someone else that you like. You might say to yourself, I'm interested in Champion's Dream. I'm going to cross out the Sam F. Davis, and you look at the previous race, the Pasco, and it's pretty good. But Champion's Dream would have to improve dramatically to win this race. Or you could look at Bill Maude and Irad Ortiz and Classic Legacy and say, okay, I can make an excuse for last time, or I thought the Sam F. Davis was really good, or Groveland ran really well in there, or what have you. There's just no other way. Tapit Trice on paper stands out, is going to be an enormous favorite in here, deserves to be. That doesn't mean Tapit Trice is going to win this race, never mind the Kentucky Derby, but from a fig standpoint, from a watching the races standpoint, he looks like he should win by open lengths.
Okay, I'm going to completely agree with you. So I don't know how to play this race if it's not Tapit Trice, because like you, Dave, I handicap it the same way. It's basically completely wide open, and nobody's even close to the way he ran last time out. And the fact of the matter is, it's not like his last race was the fastest allowance race in the history of three-year-old allowance races. It was just a really good race, and significantly better than anyone in here has run. It doesn't mean that they can't improve, but they're going to need improvement, and they're going to need Tapit Trice probably not to run as well as he did last time to win. So, like you, I'm going to put Tapit Trice on top. You feel bad, you know, in a big race with a big field, you like to come up with some sort of an interesting idea, but the fact is I can't come up with it in this spot. He's just better than them, unless something happens where, you know, he gets in a ridiculous amount of trouble or just hates the surface at Tampa Bay Downs, he's going to win this race.
That's how it looks to me. I mean, the Tampa Bay Derby is not a race that has a remarkable history. Yes, a couple horses have come out of it and won the Roses, and that's fantastic. But if you have one big-time legitimate Kentucky Derby contender in the Tampa Bay Derby, and that horse actually proves to be what you think he is, He usually wins, and wins relatively easy. I think Pletcher's won the race 5 times, and 4 of them the horse has been the favorite, and 3 or 4 of them the horse has been a huge favorite, and I think that's what we get here.
By the way, I'm going to give our producer Lee Delapina some bonus credit. He has a mind like a steel trap when it comes to these Kentucky Derbies and Kentucky Derby preps. He mentioned that not only did Street Sense become the only horse to win the Tampa Bay Derby and go on to win the Kentucky Derby, Super Saver ran in the Tampa Bay Derby, didn't win it, but did go on to win the Kentucky Derby as well. So good job by our producer, Lee Delapina. He does not forget when it comes to these three-year-old major prep races on the road to the Triple Crown. All right, let's jump down a little south in Florida, and there's 2 stakes on the Gulfstream Park card tomorrow, the first of which is race number 8. It's the Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie, named for a really nice sprinting female from several years ago. This race, fillies and mares, 6.5 furlongs on the main track, just a short but sweet field of 6, Dave, and I implore you to try to find a way to beat number 4, Frank's Roquette.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to do, and I know we've kind of hammered now. This will probably be the 3rd really big favorite, but Frank's Roquette just looks better than this group. Frank's Roquette has run 4 races, 4 of the last 5, are way better than what anyone else in this field has run. Now, Franks Raquette did not run well in the Breeders' Cup, and if you get a really clunky, bad race, sure, of course, someone else can go up and win. Our Adios jersey is not a bad horse, that's won 6 times in 10 starts, started his career 6 for 6, or maybe it was 5 for 6. I think he got DQ'd out of one of those races. But most of those races are against Florida breds. And last time out at Gulfstream ran kind of so-so against a decent field. I just don't see. I mean, you have horses that are winning races in here. Drafaros, number 5, is 4 for 5 lifetime, but has never faced anything remotely close to Franks Raquette. Franks Raquette gives you a B-minus, C-plus effort. She should win, and that's what I expect to happen. She likes Gulfstream. She likes the distance. She's coming off a layoff, but it's not a crazy layoff. She ran the final day of December. I think Franks Raquette has found a really good spot.
Yeah, and 4 to 5 is probably a better price than you're really going to get at post time. It's just that I'm sure they don't want to lay her 2 to 5 on the morning line, but that's probably around where she's going to be, and that's probably where she should be in this spot. It sounds like that Franks Raquette may be the most likely winner that you and I both think on this weekend's on the stake preview, but I'm going to guess neither of us will give her out as our best play simply because there's going to be at 2 to 5. We're not going to give out, unless it's flight line, we're not giving out 2 to 5 shots. So we both like Franks Raquette and the Hurricane Birdie. She's going to be a lower price than 4 to 5. Jumping ahead to race number 11 at Gulfstream, it's that Captiva Island Stakes. Not going to have a 2 to 5 shot in this race. These are fillies and mares sprinting 5 furlongs on the turf. Nice field of 10 going to post in this race. And there are several here who look like they have a chance. The morning line favorite is number 4, Train to Artemis, for Kelly Breen and Junior Alvarado.
Yeah, Train to Artemis has won 6 of 7. Now you go all the way back among those 6, and you're looking at a race that Train to Artemis was claimed. Want to talk about a heady claim by Kelly Breen. Claim a horse back in August at Saratoga and has come back and won 4 out of the last 5, and increasing in quality. Horse that likes Gulfstream, really likes the distance. Train to Artemis makes a ton of sense at 3 to 1. Even though Train to Artemis is probably the most likely winner, I need to look in a different direction. Mamba Wamba, 7 to 2 on the morning line, and honestly feels a little bit like Train to Artemis to me. It is running well right now. The figs look pretty similar. Mamba Wamba likes to come off the pace. May get the tempo necessary here, but again, at 7 to 2, I'm not that excited. Charlie T and Imagery, numbers 1 and number 5, 4 to 1 and 9 to 2 on the morning line. They kind of ran right with Mamba Wamba last time out. I had a really hard time distilling this race, and I don't have a strong opinion. I thought maybe Poseidon's Passion, number 10, at a huge price, that there are kind of reasons to like her. The win 2 back is pretty good. Last time out, got bet a little bit, lost to Train to Artemis. But, you know, if you can throw that race out, the previous were good. And then on the flip side, really probably is better on synthetic than on turf. I think Train to Artemis is the most likely winner, but I'm not going to bet on Train to Artemis. I'm going to be looking for, I'm going to watch this race, Bobby. I'm going to see what the odds are when they're, you know, a minute to post, and then make my decision, because Train to Artemis, Imagery, Mamba Wamba, Charlie T, probably a couple of others, I think are pretty close, pretty similar, and I'm going to look to see if I can find value. I'm also a little bit interested in number 6, Muted, at an absolutely enormous price. The Rusty Arnold numbers, first time dirt and off a layoff, are really, really good. Maybe just isn't as good as these horses, but this is the 4-year-old debut off a long layoff, well-bred Into Mischief filly. So I'm going to wait, but I'm certainly looking for value.
Well, for everything that you said, and mainly that It's a wide open race where it looks like several have a chance. I'm going to go with a little bit of value in number 5, Imagery. She ran in that same race where Charlie T was second and Mamba Wamba was third last time out. She finished fourth in the race. She was actually the second choice in the betting at 5-2 and was down on the inside, then had to swing very wide into the stretch and ended up kind of a non-menacing fourth, beating about a length and a half. I think on her day, she's as good as anyone in the field, and she's going to be a better price than she was last time out. 9-2 on the morning line for the Mark Cassie trainee, and I think that it's strictly a price pick. It's not that I think she's any better than some of these others that she's been racing against, but price-wise, I like her a little bit better. So I'm going to go with Imagery as a slight nod in the Captiva Island Race 11 tomorrow at Gulfstream. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got one Saturday stake tomorrow at Aqueduct, a couple of Sunday stakes, both east and west. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sam Houston Race Park's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. We're looking forward to March 25th, Texas Champions Day. Make it to Sam Houston Race Park as the best in Texas. Compete in 7 exciting stakes races. The 9 race card starts at 1 p.m. at Houston's Best Bet. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Thinking about retirement? Make sure a My Social Security account is a part of your plan. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can find out if you're eligible to receive benefits, compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates, view spousal benefit estimates, and more. Plan for your future. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. And discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Coming to the top of the lane and Lily for Poots, but Malibu Pier's coming right back at her. Malibu Pier, Lily for Poots, Washington Bridge turning top. It is a Claire de Lune at the back, but they much more come back now. Homeward bound, it's wide open. Malibu Pier takes the advantage, turning top, coming with a nice run in the center. Malibu Pier, turning top, going to run for the wire together. Malibu Pier, Destiny, finds more, turning top, can't get her. And the more they ask, the more she gave. Malibu Pier wins. Turning top was second. Lily for Poots, Washington Bridge in a photo for third.
Trevor Denman on the call back in 2011. That was the Grade 2 Santa Ana, won by Malibu Pier. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman, going through a dozen races on the weekend docket. One more on tomorrow afternoon's program we're going to look at. It's up at Aqueduct. The featured race up in Queens is the $100,000 Correction Stakes. These are fillies and mares sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track at the Big A. 8 of them set to go to post, Dave, in the Correction. This is another race. Well, I know we've got a big favorite on the morning line, number 1, Rosa Veloce, and she's been really, really good of late. Is it just as simple as saying that if she runs her race, they can't beat her?
Maybe. I was hoping you were going to be able to help me with this one. I want to bet against Rosa Veloce. I understand her best figures, and they've come recently, are just flat out better than this group. But she's stepping up into the stakes classification here, and it hasn't run in stakes before. In fact, this is a horse that was claimed last July for $45,000, came back in September, was claimed for $32,000, was beating state-bred optional claimers in the fall. And yeah, she's running well in those races, but those are not spectacular races. Now, she loves Aqueduct. She loves the 6 furlong distance. She's 6-5 on the morning line, and that's probably right. I mean, she from a fig standpoint, from a pace standpoint, too, she's going to be out on the lead. She looks like the one, and I'm having difficulty finding someone that I really like aside from her, but I feel like she's vulnerable and beatable. Number 4, Foyette, 9-2 on the morning line, is running back-to-back stakes races at Laurel. Been kind of ho-hum in those. I think the races in New York fit okay. Certainly the race at Belmont last May would be good, or the turf race Saratoga in August would be good. Even the race at Aqueduct in December in the mud, I think, would put Foyette in the mix. Number 3, Prodigy Doll, has been running in Maryland primarily, but ran a good race at Churchill Downs in November of 2021, is in pretty good form. Rosa Veloce is the most likely winner. I'm not that excited about her. I picked Foyette, but if you've got someone at a price that you like, I'm all ears.
Well, I'm hoping that number 4, Fuete, goes out and kind of tries to bother Rosa Veloce in the early going. If either one of them get the lead, they're very likely to go wire to wire. But if not, if there's a little bit of cat and mouse on the front end, I'm wondering if number 7, Secret Love, can come by and get them. I know she's been racing mainly against restricted stakes or high-level allowance competition, but she rarely runs a bad race, and I think she's going to get a good trip just in behind what should be an honest pace. Shortening up from 7 furlongs to 6, I think she's going to have more of a stronger kick down the lane. So 8-1 on the morning line, going to take a little bit of a flyer with Secret Love to win the correction tomorrow at Aqueduct. Let's head on out to Santa Anita for their Sunday afternoon card. They've got one stake on Sunday. It's the Grade 3 Santa Ana. Goes as race number $700,000 on the line for the fillies and mares, going 1.25 miles on the turf. Field of 9 going to post here, Dave. Another one that's tough to figure.
I'm very curious to see what the morning line is, and maybe you have a feel for who the favorite is going to be in here. Duvet Day at 13-1, last time out, beat number 2, Queen of the Temple, and number 3, Australian Mia. Duvet Day is a horse that is 0-2 at this 1.25 mile distance. That race in the Astra in January was going 1.5 miles, that marathon distance. And I wonder if Duvet Day prefers a longer race than this. Australian Mia is second off a layoff and came into that race off of only running in Chile, was 9 of 19 in Chile before coming to the U.S., was the favorite that day at about 8-5 or 9-5, and ran okay, was kind of fair, but second off a very, very long layoff, now has run in this country, and I think the cutback might help a little bit. And then number 2, Queen of the Temple, has just kind of been grinding away in races like this, collecting checks, running fine. The races at Del Mar and Santa Anita in October and November, I think, were against a little bit better competition. The races over the summer were sort of similar to this, and she was fine. The Astra, she was 3-1, ran second, beaten a length and a quarter by Duvet Day. I don't know about the distance. I don't know if 1.25 miles is dramatically better or maybe worse than 1.5 miles for Queen of the Temple. Do you think one of those three horses is going to be a big favorite among the others, or do you think one of those is going to be a much larger price than the others?
No, in fact, I just refreshed the PSPs for Santa Anita as you were speaking, and the morning line just came out for that race. So Australia Mia is 3-1 on the morning line. Queen of the Temple is 7-2 on the line. Both number 5, Duvet Day, and the 9, Ballet Dancing at 4-1. So John White, like you, is a little bit confused, as it were, as to who actually is going to be favored, let alone a solid favorite in the race.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like Australian Mia the best just because I think needed the last race. But Duvet Day, Queen of the Temple, they look pretty darn similar to me. Ballet dancing on the outside for Flavien Prat. I seriously looked at that horse. I'm just not that impressed by what I've seen. I have no concept of whether ballet dancing wants the mile and a quarter. And while the race two back at Santa Anita was fine, there just aren't a lot of big races in the PPs. I think the $800,000 daughter of Medaglia d'Oro, they had higher expectations for. And while she certainly could win, she hasn't done a lot to suggest that she's dramatically better than this group.
No, I picked her on top, and that is number 9, Ballet Dancing, mainly because I think she's going to be a better price than the others, and I think she has races back at Del Mar to go back to that make her at least one of the ones to beat, if not the one to beat. None of these fillies and mares look like they lay over everyone else, and just because, you know, somebody wins the Santa Ana this Sunday doesn't mean that that filly or mare would necessarily beat this field next time out. So I think it's a take turns type of a field in this spot. I'm going to try Ballet Dancing for no other reason than I think she's as good as anybody else. I like that Flavien Prat is getting aboard, and I think she does have races three or four starts back that make her one of the ones to beat in this spot. Maybe she's heading back to that good form. Last race we're going to look at is the only stake on the Sunday card out at Aqueduct, and that is the $100,000 Biogio's Rose. These are fillies and mares. They're New York breds going the one-turn mile on the main track at Aqueduct. Just a field of 5 going to post, and the 2 who are the favorites on the morning line, number 3, Timeless Journey, and the 2, Know-It-All Audrey.
Yeah, and I think those are the two logical ones. Know-It-All Audrey has been running primarily against state-bred competition and run pretty well. 3 wins in the last 5 starts. The 2 stakes races have been okay, not great. The non-stakes events have been much, much better and more fruitful. 3 for 8 at the distance, 5 for 11 at Aqueduct, and makes sense. Timeless Journey is entering state bred competition, and she was pretty successful against that sort of competition, albeit on the turf, late in 2021 and early in 2022. On the dirt recently against optional claimers and allowance horses, running very competitively. I think those are the two. Timeless Journey likes Aqueduct, likes the distance, likes the wet if they get some rain this weekend. I pick Timeless Journey, but those two, I would need to use both of them.
Okay, so I just went the other way. I don't have a real good feel about this race. I went to the 2 Know-It-All Audrey simply because she's been first or second 8 out of 11 tries at Aqueduct, and I think the one-turn mile hits her right between the eyes. Last time out, I don't know what happened in that race other than maybe she was caught up in the pace and just didn't have anything left. I think she's a little bit better with the longer distances and not having to go as quickly early on. So for me, Know-It-All Audrey in the Biogio's Rose, a race with just a field of 5 and a couple vying for favoritism, Know-It-All Audrey and Timeless Journey. All 12 races in the books. Dave, time now for the HRRN Best Bets.
This is the HRRN Best Bet.
All right, buddy, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, we don't like to give off huge favorites, generally. And Tapatrice is going to be a huge favorite, and Frank's Roquette's going to be a huge favorite. I assume the horse I'm picking is going to be a huge favorite, but maybe not quite the 2-5 sort of price those others might be. I just think Clarier absolutely is way, way better than the field at Oakland. I think what you said about Malafat, what would the price be on Malafat against this group? And that's nothing to take away from Secret Oath or Hidden Connection. I just think Clarier is in a different class. The morning line is 6-5. I'm unloading the bank account if you get 6-5. I think it's probably more like 4-5. I still think Clarier is good value at that price. I just think she's in a different class from this group.
All right, so Clarier for Dave in the Azari. Yesterday, a little bit on our First Bet Racing show, we had time to talk a little bit about my misfortune at the craps table at Pechanga Casino outside of L.A. Well, to use craps terminology, I'm going to bet on the come as it were, with my HRRN best bet, and that's in the Grade 3 San Carlos tomorrow at Santa Anita. I think number 3, Spirit of McKenna, is a horse with a bright future. Now, I don't know why it took so long to get this horse to the races. He's a 5-year-old, only raced 3 times thus far, and he didn't start till the back half of his 4-year-old campaign. But he looks like he's getting better and better, and I think he has more upside than the others in this race. And the repeat of his last race, I think, is good enough to make him the one of the ones to beat. He's 4-1 on the morning line. Spirit of McKenna on the come, as it were, in the Grade 3 San Carlos, race 5 tomorrow at Santa Anita. Want to remind everybody, another bang-up edition of the Equine Forum presented by Twin Spires tomorrow morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Our good friend Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch, is joined by Hall of Fame trainer Todd Pletcher as he looks back on Forte's powerful win in the Fountain of Youth. He discusses the contenders in Saturday's Tampa Bay Derby. Trainers Ben Kroelbrook and Tim Yakteen talk about their top 3-year-old stakes winners from last weekend. Spendthrift Farms GM Ned Toffee reflects upon Beholder's racing career, shares an update on what she's doing today. Plus, our good friend James Scully with this week's Twin Spires Triple Play, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History presented by Keeneland, Calling All 3-Year-Olds presented by Spendthrift, Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin debate the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and my co-host, Dave Freeman, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.